Good evening, everyone. I love that you guys are here. You guys are the faithful ones here the night before Thanksgiving. So it's nice to see you all. Tonight we're going to talk about authentic Christianity. And we are continuing on in Acts 22, 1 through 30 is tonight's text. And we're going to start off with a little game, okay? So please indulge me. Raise your hand if you are a human being. All right, I'm glad to know we're all awake, we're all alive and well here. Okay, raise your hand if you're a female. Okay? Raise your hand if you're a male. Okay, very good. Raise your hand if you work in the education field. Okay, got a few. All right. Raise your hand if you work in some sort of human service field. Okay. Raise your hand if you work in sales.
Anybody work in sales? Okay, we have a couple.
All right. Raise your hand if you have children.
A lot of people have children.
Okay. Raise your hand if you like sports. Okay, we're almost done. How about if you like sweets? I'm going to raise both hands for this one. How about if you are a morning person? Raise your hand. Never really understood you people, but I still love you, I accept you, but I just don't really understand you. Raise your hand if you like to stay up late. Okay. Finally, raise your hand if you're going to be with people on Thanksgiving that you don't live with. Most everybody. Okay. As you all noticed, we actually have a lot in common. There's not that many of us here, but we all have something in common with somebody else. I know they're very broad categories, but we do. We all have common ground with at least one person in this audience here. As human beings, we all have a lot in common with other human beings. Okay, that will make sense in a few. Our study in the book of Acts continues. Last week, we learned, as Pastor Ken Milton preached, that Paul was arrested in the temple. And here we're going to pick up where he gives his defense in the temple courts before a Jewish mob. And as we've seen throughout the entire book of Acts, we could do very well to follow Paul's example of witnessing to others. I want to be just like Paul when I grow up. He does. He is just such a great example, and we've seen that throughout this entire book. Just what an example he is when sharing the gospel. So tonight's central theme is we should be authentic when sharing the gospel. So let's start reading in Acts 22, the first part. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in the city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From then I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. God's word is always relatable to our lives today. Thanksgiving's tomorrow, and it's the beginning of the holiday season. Well, if you're like me, my house is already decorated. I have my Christmas nails, and I've been listening to Christmas music, but that's besides the point. Tomorrow's considered the first day, right, of the holiday season. And I asked Pastor Stephen, I'm like, are you planning on doing a Thanksgiving message tonight, Pastor Stephen? Because I knew I was on the list to preach this week. And he's like, no, we're going to continue in the book of Acts. I'm like, oh, okay, well, don't you think that possibly, you know, maybe we should have a Thanksgiving message? No, we're good. We don't, you know, we're going to finish this year. I was like, well, maybe we could clump together a couple. Nope, you're preaching on Acts this week. I'm like, okay. But I just love that God's word speaks for itself. I did not try to come up with a Thanksgiving message. I had to stick to the text, which I do love that Pastor Stephen has taught me to do that. You know, you stick to the text, it speaks for itself. You can't kind of try to manipulate it to what it, you know, is supposed to say. But I also love that God's timing is perfect and everything in his word is relatable.
Amen.
So, I didn't see how Acts could fit into tonight, but we have this holiday season coming up, and as I was praying and preparing and thinking and studying for tonight, I couldn't help but think, starting tomorrow, we have a lot of events, maybe parties, Christmas, Christmas Eve, different events coming up where we're going to be hanging out with people that we don't normally hang out with. And perhaps many of them will not know the Lord. We have, you know, holiday get-togethers with maybe coworkers. I thought you can learn a lot about your coworkers through those opportunities. But there's going to be opportunities where we can share Jesus with people that we might not know. And I just think it's so cool because, again, we're studying Paul and how he witnessed to others. So I think we'd do really well to follow along in his guidance as we're going to look. So I also want to ask that we prayerfully look for open doors beginning tomorrow on how we can witness. Because there's a lot of common ground we have with people, even though we might not think we do. There's a lot of common ground. So the first point is we should find common ground when we are sharing the gospel. Paul began his address by speaking in their own language. The language he was speaking was Aramaic. He did this because many of the Jews before him did not speak Greek or Hebrew. Paul's a smart guy. He knew, you know, who he was speaking to. He was very intelligent. He knew his audience, so he knew how to address them. There would have been an assumption that he could only speak Greek since he was an outsider, but since he spoke their language, he got a little street cred, which helped them get their attention. Paul had such a gift of seeking to find common ground with everyone, and that comes from 1 Corinthians 9:22. This is the all things to all men verse that has been referenced many, many times in this Acts series. I know I've gotten to bring it up a lot in other speakers this series because, again, he has become all things to all men so that by all possible means he might save some. He knows how to relate with any and everyone. He stresses to the crowd here that he was just as zealous as they were in his past before he met Christ. One of the commentaries I studied in preparation for tonight states, he recognized the sincere motives behind their desire to kill him, and that a few years earlier, he had shared that same well-meaning but misguided passion. Paul does not come in with a judgmental attitude or pointing the finger. He is not coming from a self-righteous perspective. He's in front of this mob, but yet he is trying to find common ground with even them, even his accusers. He's reminding them that he was just like them. Also, the fact that he reminds them he is a Jew shows that there's no way he could possibly be anti-Jew. He himself was born a Jew. He was also well-educated and well-studied under Gamaliel, a popular and respected rabbi. Again, he is reiterating the fact that he has a lot in common with those who are before him, those who are trying to kill him. We all have a lot in common with each other. So you might think, how would I know what I have in common with somebody else? Well, I'm sure a lot of people will be watching football tomorrow. I know that there will be a lot of football going on in my home, the home I'm going to be at, my parents' home. Everyone who has young school-age children most likely have children in school, right? They go to school if they're not homeschooled. You can maybe ask how the school year is going so far for their children. Maybe someone you are talking to is taking time off for the holidays. You can ask them what they're doing while off. Maybe they're going to have their dream vacation. They're going to be on a beach in the Dominican Republic. Oh, maybe that's just my dream vacation. But you can ask people, what are you going to do for the time off? You know, just try to connect with them, find common ground, maybe what their hobbies are. You can even ask them, what do you like to do when you relax? Don't be too weird or awkward. Just be yourself. Pray for these opportunities. Again, beginning tomorrow, even start tonight, pray for opportunities. Look for those entry points and go from there. Maybe someone's struggling. This is a difficult time for people who have lost loved ones. It can be a really difficult time, right? Maybe someone that you're going to be with at a party is struggling because they've lost someone they love and the holidays are difficult. You can tell them you'll be praying for them and make sure you actually follow through with that. If you have their contact info already, you can even shoot them a text a week or so later to check in and ask how they're doing.
and tell them you have been praying for them. Don't just witness to check up a box that you've witnessed. Be the authentic you and let the Holy Spirit take care of the details. Just let your light shine brightly because every Christian has that light within them. Amen? All right, let's go on to verse 6. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to every one of you that you have seen and heard, to every one of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. One of the commentaries I've been studying for this message states, sound reasoning, biblical arguments, and apologetics all have their place in evangelism. But it is most important to simply tell how we met Christ and what he has done in our lives. There are many people, I'm sure you all know people that do like to argue and do kind of like to get into the whole apologetics and prove that Jesus isn't real or is real. And there are people like that. But a lot of people aren't open to hearing the word or even being invited to church or don't want to pray and don't want to talk about it. But there's nothing like your personal testimony. It's something that nobody can deny. You can't tell someone that their testimony didn't happen. It's personal. Perhaps a coworker won't listen to the story in the Bible about the man with the withered hand who was completely healed, but they sure can't deny it if someone who has the withered hand shows them their healed hand in person. This miracle actually did happen several years ago in El Salvador when I was there in the summer. It didn't happen to me, but it happened with a friend of mine that their withered hand was actually healed. And so you can't deny a personal testimony. You might not want to read about it in the Bible, but a personal testimony speaks for itself. So that leads us to our next point. Okay, being authentic means we should share our personal testimony with others. Paul tells in detail how he was miraculously changed on his way to Damascus. He made it clear that his conversion was not an issue of defection, but a matter of divine intervention. It wasn't his fault that he was changed. He explains in chronological order the events that happened on his way to Damascus and how his life was forever changed. He used his own personal experience to show them that Jesus is alive and that he is Lord. Paul submits when God speaks to him. He asks him what he should do. Again, we would do well to follow Paul's example. He surrenders, asks God what he wants from him, and then he goes on to do it. I want to make note of the fact that maybe you don't feel your testimony is as dramatic as Paul's. Mine isn't either. I wasn't, you know, hearing a voice and seeing a bright light, and my name wasn't changed, but if you've met Jesus and you have a powerful, powerful, powerful story about how you came to know him and the difference he's made in your life. Maybe it's a story of how he sustained you, of how he protected you from something. It doesn't have to be this, you know, huge, dramatic event, but he's made a difference in your life. Maybe before you met Christ, you lived in extreme fear and anxiety, but now you're healed. That's a big deal. He changed your life. Maybe you no longer have anger towards a family member and are much more patient when you're frustrated. That's a big deal. He changed your life. You can share that story and trust God with the results. Or maybe you can share a time when God healed you or met a financial need that you had. Again, that's a big deal. He changed your life. He's always working on our behalf. Let's read the last portion of scripture for tonight. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the tribune came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. The tribune answered, I bought the citizenship for a large sum, Paul said, but I am a citizen by birth. So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. Now here's Paul before the council. But on the next day, desiring to know the real reason why he was being accused by the Jews, he unbound him and commanded the chief priests and all of the council to meet. And he brought Paul down and set him before them. Have you ever been afraid to share the truth with somebody because you're afraid of offending them? Everybody's offended these days, right? Or maybe you feel like they won't like you anymore if you do share Jesus with them. There are some friends I have that know how much I love and accept them. They also know I'm a Christian. God, help me to love and accept them without compromising my beliefs. I'll admit that that can be tough these days. You want to show everybody love. You want to show them the love of Jesus. But then if you, you know, tell them the truth about what it says in the word, that could offend them, right? And so it's hard. So God, help us to have that perfect balance where we can show Jesus love but not compromise in this world that's full of compromise. That's tough. I don't want to be lumped in with those Christians who are judgmental towards a group of people, but I also don't want to compromise what God says is sin. Maybe you feel that way about something, and as a result, you've watered down the gospel a bit or have been a little vague or bland while witnessing. I've been there and I've done that. I've been convicted of this lately. In fact, this happened recently. I feel as though I've passed up some opportunities to witness to one of my new coworkers. I want her to think I'm cool. I want her to want to be around me and think I'm fun. Well, just last week, I really was convicted. I asked the Lord to forgive me and to give me an opportunity that day. So I was praying that morning for an opportunity. And he's always going to give you one if you ask him for it. And it wasn't a huge deal, but I made sure that I slid in there about being at church tonight. You know, just because I, and again, I don't want to ever force, you know, the gospel or be awkward or force things, but we can just be genuine ourselves, right? And not hide who we are in Christ. And it's not that I had that huge opportunity to witness. We do have to be sensitive to God's timing and open doors, but I did feel as though I needed to start. It could be an open door to another conversation about God or church. And, you know, in a new job that I have been asking the Lord for opportunities. And I teach 10th grade and we're reading a novel. And it's a tough novel. There's a lot of taking God's name in vain in the novel. And part of me wants to just like retype it and take out, you know, those words. But I don't think I can do that. But it not only takes God's name in vain, it uses God's name as a cuss word. And I refuse, you know, I have to read out loud to them, but I refuse to speak those words. And it's funny, you think your students aren't listening to you,
But they'll call you out if you miss a word. And so I was reading, and Miss, you skipped a word. And I said, I'm a Christian, and I will not use that word. It's offensive to me, and I don't want to take God's name in vain. And so I'm able to say that, like, to 50-something of my students, you know, because they will. They'll ask you. And it's just cool that that is one thing that I, you know, can do. Again, asking God for opportunities, that's a little thing, but they know that I refuse to use that word, those words. And so again, he will always, always, always provide opportunities. He wants you to share your faith. So if you ask him, he'll just provide a way. Again, be authentic you. Jesus has changed you. You're different. You shine. You're bright. There's something different about being a Christian. If you have Jesus in your heart, there should be. You should look different. You should act different. You should glow. You should shine. And just be authentic you. Amen. But this leads us, though, to our last point, and it's we shouldn't hold back when sharing the gospel, even if, you know, we're afraid of offending, and again, doing it in love. But everything seemed to be going pretty smoothly while Paul was defending himself in the temple courts. He was able to explain his past as well as share his personal testimony of how he became a follower of Jesus. This is where things get a little ugly for him. He could have just left his address to the Jews at that, but He mentions his call to preach to the Gentiles. It's like as soon as that word is said, it like, you know, sets them off. He's an intelligent man. He knows it wouldn't settle well with them. He's not surprised that saying Gentiles is going to make them upset. But he still doesn't hold back. Given his own history, Paul surely must have realized that stating so explicitly this call would send the crowd below into a frenzy. But he did not minimize or avoid declaring the truth. He was suggesting that the Gentiles could be saved without the law and circumcision, and this enraged the Pharisees. They were full of pride, and they had this, like, elite separatist mentality. Paul knew that, but still did not hold back. He spoke the truth boldly, regardless of the consequences he would face. Again, God help us to be able to do this in love. It's a tough balance. But I do believe if we do it while showing love, when God opens that door, it can absolutely be done. And the results are in God's more than capable hands anyways. If Shana and the worship team could come up, we're going to actually close things early, but also close things differently. And because we want this to be a really practical way of handling this because, you know, again, we're talking about tomorrow starts the holiday season. We're all going to probably be at multiple events. And so it's what we're going to do. You know, again, we have common ground with people, right? We all saw that even with one another, there's many things that we have in common with each other that maybe we didn't even realize. And I just think we can ask God and seek out opportunities to witness to others. And instead of coming forward, we're going to respond differently. We're going to gather in small groups of a few people, and we're going to start talking about what gatherings we'll be in over the holidays, and then almost make a game plan, you know, ask the Lord, that we're going to pray for each other that we'll boldly be able to share the gospel, that God would open very specific and clear doors, and that we would respond to his Holy Spirit when he leads us. And I believe that God's going to give us these open doors. And again, we're not forcing anything, but I do believe if we go into the season, we go in with eyes open and ears open to hear what God's telling us and where he's leading us, he will do that. So let's just gather in groups, and Pastor Stephen will come up to close after a little bit. But let's make our game plan and pray for boldness as a result.